3, hit it!
Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is the money monster. And the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving and insights into money in your life, 866-254-1579, toll-free in the United States and Canada. That's 866-254-1579. Outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing your country code, generally 001-760-918-4300. And I want to take the opening of the show today to really establish what is one of the fundamental premises of all the work that I do. If you've ever listened to the show before, you know that everything that I talk about on the show, everything that we talk about in the coaching that we do on the show, is based on three fundamental truths about life. That we're alive, we're aware, we're conscious, and we think. And specifically, around two of the implications of being alive and conscious and thinking. One of them is that aliveness has an intelligence to it, that the universal mind, the creative potential of the universe is in us. It is available to us. It's running the show with or without our help. And the other is that 100% of our experience of life is thought created. We can only experience via thought made real by consciousness, brought to life by mind. Right? That's it. It only works one way. Inside out. Thought, feeling. But it really, 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 really looks like it works at least partly outside in. Experience creates thought and feeling. Or circumstances create thought and feeling. Or outcome creates thought and feeling. Or other people create thought and feeling. So before we talk about money, before we can really have a clear thought about the role of money in our lives, we got to really see that there is zero connection between money and your experience of life. There is zero connection between money and your well-being. There is zero connection between money and peace of mind. There is zero connection between how much money you have and how much or little you worry. There is zero connection between how much or little money you have in any given moment and how much or little you feel insecure or secure. There is zero connection between how much or little money you have in the moment and how confident you feel or how little confidence you have, how desperate you feel or how not desperate you are, how needy you feel or how needless you feel, how tight or how free, how restricted or how open. None of that has anything to do with anything in the world of form, in the world of experience. But we really, 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 really think that it does. And therein lies all our confusion around money. Therein lies all our problems with money. Because without thought, money's just money. In fact, without thought, money's just pieces of paper, right? We rely on some shared thinking about money to give it value. And if you go, well, yes, but only since we came off the gold standard. Well, no, we rely on shared thought to make gold have a value. right? There's no intrinsic value in a shiny metal. There's no intrinsic value in pieces of paper. There's no intrinsic value in numbers on your computer screen. But we have a thought agreement. And if you, so here's the thing, right? Thought's not bad. It's not bad that we have thinking. Without thinking, we couldn't use money to exchange value. We couldn't use money to represent value in our world. But the problem is, we use thought indiscriminately to create money. We don't just create it as a means of exchange. We create it as a measure of worth. We create it as a measure of well-being. We create it as a measure of security. We create it as a measure of how am I doing, right? We create it as a measure of sexuality. We create it as a measure of power. Now, we can do that because we're the thinker. But it turns out that there are consequences to creating Frankensteins out of money. Right? Because that's essentially what we're doing. Right? We're creating a monster. And it's a really, we don't think of it as a monster when we create it. We think of it as, oh, I'm giving it life. I'm bringing it into being. It's this wonderful thing that facilitates the exchange of goods and services. But then we start to imbue it with all these other properties, with the power to make us afraid, with the power to take away the good feeling in our lives, with the power to ruin our marriage, with the power to come between us and our kids. Well, a piece of paper can't do that. Number on a computer screen can't do that. Right? Shiny lump of metal can't do that. But we create the money monster with thought. And then we try to learn, how do I deal with the money monster? How do I manage the money monster? How do I overcome the money monster? How do I kill the money monster? Well, you don't have to, because you made it up in the first place. And if you stop making it up that way, the intelligence behind life, the intelligent energy of life, will bring you new thought. And you'll see new possibilities. And money will just take up less of your headspace. Right? It already does. Here's why. By the way, numbers to call. 866-254-1579. Toll free in the United States and Canada. 001-760-918-4300 if you're phoning from outside the U.S. So here's why it really looks like. Here's part of the mechanism that makes it look like money can do it to us. Money can, having money can make us feel better, and lacking money can make us feel worse. So remember, first principles, we live in the feeling of thought. We live in the experience of thinking. And if we think we need money to survive, we need money to be okay, we need more than we have to be better than we are, well, we're going to be thinking about it a lot. We're going to be thinking about how to get it. Where's it going to come from? Where's it going to go? What's going to happen? And in the midst of all that thinking, we're going to stir up a lot of uncomfortable feelings in ourselves, because those are some uncomfortable thoughts. If I don't have this, I won't be okay. If I don't have enough of this, I won't be okay. If I have less of this, he, she won't love me anymore. If I have more of this, I can get that person. And then, all of these conclude with, and then I'll finally be able to relax and be happy. Or some variation on that. So here's what happens. We have all that thinking going on. We drive ourselves nuts. We make ourselves sick with all that thinking. And then we get money. And for a little while, we stop thinking about it. It's like, oh, phew, got it. And because we're not thinking about it, our mind returns to its natural quiet. Our being returns to its natural state of wellness. And we find ourselves feeling okay. And the logical mistake, the logical error, is to think, the money brought my well-being. The money made it okay. Nope. Not thinking about it allowed your well-being to return. Not thinking about it anymore allowed you to be okay. And if you see that, then when you're getting worried, whether it's about this money thing or that money thing or this money related thing or that money related thing, you're not inclined to try and solve the worry with money, because the worry is just thought. It's made a thought. You've made the whole game up. We all have. And you don't have to make it up the same way. Now, without some thought agreement, right, then money loses all its value as a means of exchange, as the grease to the wheel of exchanging goods and services. But you don't have to make up anything about it. You don't have to imbue it with any of the properties that it's supposed to have beyond that. So what's financial freedom? Right? For most people, financial freedom is a number. When I have this number, I will be free from financial worries. Well, that's not financial freedom. That's a number that we think is big enough that we won't have to think about it anymore. That we've worked out a formula for why, when we reach that number, we won't have to think about it anymore. You don't have to think about it now. Now, you will, and it may occur to you from that deeper intelligence, things to do to get more of it when you have a use for more of it. But that's different than you thinking about it, right? We don't get into trouble because we think. We get into trouble because we think. Because the little us, the little s self, gets in there and tries to work it out and tries to figure it out and tries to make it happen, because it doesn't see that there is this huge intelligence behind us that works through us when we let it. So financial freedom comes from understanding what finances are and how life works. Financial freedom, the freedom from financial worry, is a state of mind issue. It's nothing to do with your bank account. It's nothing to do with how your business is going. It's nothing to do with the economy. Now, here's the thing. I'm not advocating, and you probably hear this, I'm not advocating not having money. I'm not advocating having unlimited money. I'm just saying that the reason we're so messed up personally, familially, societally about money is because we've created a Frankenstein's monster out of money with our thinking. And if we can step back from that thinking, if we can see the space around that thinking, if we can let go of that thinking, it makes space for new, more intelligent thinking to come through, for deeper thought to come through and inform us, to literally walk in a different world around money. To walk in a world where money is just part of the game. It's really useful for some things, not so useful for others. And it's kind of fun finding ways to be of value, to be of service, and exchanging them for money, and then finding things that you make valuable, that you perceive as valuable, and using that money to buy those for yourself and the ones that you love. Let's go out to Vancouver to begin the phones. Well, you know what I mean. We're going to speak to Roberta. Roberta, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Oh, hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I was just listening to everything you were saying about money, and I totally agree. But there's a big but here. I got sick last year, not really finding out what the sickness was about. I'm still recuperating from an upset stomach, basically. And I got let go of a job, but I find I'm stressing out so much about money because I don't have a job. I've had to use my savings. But how do you get to go proceed without being so stuck? I think that's what's really stressing me a lot and causing the sickness to stick with me.
Well, so, okay. No, that's a reasonable question, but here's the red herring hidden in that question. And it's the word about, that it feels like you're worried about something. You're stressing about something. Which makes it look like, if that were true, it would make sense that we need to really understand that something. And we need to get better at that something, or in this case, maybe we need more of that something, or a more reliable source of that something.
Okay.
But we're stressed because we're thinking stressful thoughts. We're worried because we're worrying the thoughts around in our head busily. It has nothing to do with what we think the content of those thoughts are. It has nothing to do with what we think we're worried about or stressed about. And you can see that. Most people can see that because you can see how, you know, one thing that you worry about gets taken care of and then you find something else to worry about. One thing that you're stressed about gets taken care of and you find something else to stress about. It seems to be the reason for the stress, but it's just where the stress is aiming. It's almost like if I wrote stress on your eyeballs, it'd be like reverse image so that it looked, when you looked out into the world, you could see the world. You would see stress superimposed on whatever you looked at. So if you were looking at a wall, you would look at a wall with stress on it. If you were looking at a tree, you would be looking at a tree with stress on it. If you were looking at a baby deer, you would be looking at a baby deer with stress on it. If you were looking at work, you would be looking at work with stress on it. The stress is on your eyeballs. It's nothing to do with where you're looking.
Oh, that's very interesting. I've never looked at it that way.
So tell me about what's interesting about that. Like, what is it that you're glimpsing in there?
Well, the way you just said, like, put it on my eyeballs and look at everything. So I thought I was looking at just the negative part, not just looking at a baby deer and seeing stress, or looking at even good things and seeing stress. But that makes sense. So what I thought I was doing was just looking out at the fact that I have no job and I'm still not well to work. But how am I going to pay for my expenses each month?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I thought I was focusing on. But listening to what you just said, I do believe I'm in that category where I do have stress and I look at everything. I just didn't realize I did.
Yeah. Now that turns out to be really good news. Because given a little bit of mental space, the system resets. Right. The default is clarity. The default is quiet. The default is that sense of irrepressible possibility that we've all felt sometimes, but we usually think it's because of something. We don't see that it's our nature.
Right. Right.
And there's no question about it. When your best self shows up, when that irrepressible part of you shows up, it probably does really well.
So how do you stay in that moment?
Well, you got to find it first, right? But fortunately, it's there. Like, it's here now. We're both in it. We just are more or less aware of it. So that's the first thing. Is just to see, oh, okay, there's no distance to travel here. This is waking up to what is already true, not creating something new. This is My friend George Prensky says this is a mining operation, not a manufacturing one. We're looking for something that's already here, not creating something from scratch. But then the other thing is to see that we don't have to stay there. We just have to recognize the value of being there and aim ourselves in that direction. Because the way the mind works is wherever we aim it, that's what we get insight into. That's where we get fresh new thought about. And so if we aim it towards problems, we get fresh new thoughts about problems, right? This is why positive thinking sort of kind of sometimes works a bit. It's just because what you focus on, you see more about, you have more thinking about, you get new thoughts about. Now, if you orient that amazing power of the mind towards finding your own clarity, towards finding your own peace, towards the source of experience instead of the details of experience, which experiences you want and which experiences you don't want. Before, I sometimes call it looking before the therefore, right? Before the therefore are just facts about life. I'm stressed. Okay. Therefore, I need to fix it. Ah, there's where your problems start. You know.
But can you be like stressed or for some things and not other things? Because I feel I'm positive in some ways in my life, but with this illness that they can't seem to put a name on, that's where I stress. But other parts of my life, I seem to be fine.
Okay, so let me speak to that. But first, let me go ahead and name your illness. Its name is Frederick.
Okay.
Okay, so you've got that now. You don't have to worry about that. We've put a name to your illness. Okay, we now know what it is. It's Frederick.
Okay.
Great. So, putting that to one side, isn't that amazing? Okay. I didn't even go to med school and I knew that. So here's the thing. Of course, you can have the experience of stressing sometimes and not other times. But it's not to do with I'm stressed about this, but not that. It's I have stressful thinking at the moment habitually when I'm looking in this direction, and I have less stressful thinking when I'm looking in that direction. And all the places where I don't have a lot of stressful thinking, they always look good because life is beautiful. Life is the undifferentiated perfection of God until we add thought. Thought is the missing link between the formless perfection and the infinite variety of form. Now, that's the gift of thought, but it's also the curse of thought. It's value neutral. It is simply something that is always happening in all of us for as long as we are alive as we think. And we experience that thought through the senses. We experience it in our bodies as if it's happening, as if it's coming at us, but it's always coming through us. It's always coming from us. The mind works more like a projector than a camera. Now, one place that people go, so sometimes people hear that and they go, the mind works more like a projector and a camera. Therefore, I must control which films play in the theater of my mind. And if you've tried that, you know that that is an exhausting way to try to live.
And that seems to be the way I live.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very, very, you know, common as muck. But here's the thing. If you stick with the fact that we're living in the feeling of our thinking, that the mind works more like a projector than a camera, that there is a deeper intelligence that is always operating, but when we're up in our personal thinking, up in our heads, we miss it. That we're alive, we are of life, we are made of the same energy as everything on the planet, and yet we're cut off from that energy a lot of the time. We don't notice it run through us. We don't feel the electricity in the wire. So we look for other things to bring us that feeling instead of looking inside us where that feeling already is. We just get a little lost. But let me ask you something, Roberta. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling very good, actually. I mean, I have a little bit of stomach upset.
Yeah. That's the reality of the human experience. We are the perfection of life experiencing the variety of humanness. And part of the variety of humanness is it comes with a body.
Actually, if I can give a thought of what you just asked me, I'm looking out my window here, and I have shutters on the window. And when you were just talking about what we just spoke about, it's like I've looked through the cracks of the shutters, but I just moved the shutters open, so I have a clear view now. And that's just what I feel like, what you just described to me. That's what I'm thinking.
Perfect metaphor. That's a perfect metaphor. It was always there outside the window,
right?
But you were just stuck looking at the window.
Yeah.
Beautiful, Roberta.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing that to my attention.
You're very welcome. Thank you for phoning in. You're welcome anytime.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye.
It's cool, right? I mean, this is the thing. This is all I'm ever doing when I sit down with a client, when I work with a group, when I talk to leaders, when I write, is I'm just trying my best to make the invisible a little bit more visible, to make what is already true but often overlooked, harder to overlook. Because we all do really well when we've got the facts. We all do really well when we see what's really going on. And we all struggle when we're dealing with imaginary circumstances. Right? If I'm trying to learn to... Okay, this is a weird metaphor, but this is the one that's coming to mind. If I'm trying to learn to hang glide, and I think pushing left is going to make me go left, and pushing right is going to make me go right, but the controls are set up the other way. If I pay attention to how I think it should work, I'm going to make up reasons why it's not working. Ah, oh, this hang glider is broken. Ah, oh, you know, this isn't, you know, this is, who did this? This is terrible. You know, the government, this is a government built hang glider. It must be the government's fault. Oh my God, this is my old boss gave me this hang glider. That's the problem. Oh, this is my family's hang glider. Oh man. Instead of paying attention to how it actually works and saying, oh, if I put pressure here, it goes this way. And if I put pressure there, it goes that way. And once I see that, then I can learn. Then it will get easier over time. Once you see that experience comes from thought, not from the world. There's nothing in the world that intrinsically is stressful or difficult or hard or easy or beautiful or wonderful. Those are qualities of life itself, not unique to any form. Those are qualities of thought, not qualities of the world. Well, then you start to learn. You start to navigate with more ease because you're now navigating with warmer and colder, actually meaning closer and further away. See, when we think the world is coming at us from the outside, It's like we think colder means go forward and warmer means run away. And we get lost and we get confused. But the second you get quiet, the moment you drop out of your conceptual mind, you come back to yourself, you find your way back home. Life's pretty easy, even when it's hard. Let's go to St. Petersburg, Florida. Let's talk with Cindy. Cindy, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, this is Cindy.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi, this is Cindy.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, hi. My question is, or my interest is, your thoughts on those of us who were born into families that have money.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, in our lives, money is not the issue. Actually, it's more of an issue of having money and knowing that we deserve it. I deserve this. This was my soul plan. And to understand how to, you know, the gifts in it. Yet the culture and the society, and as we've heard in, just in this conversation, is often focused on the lack of it.
So let me ask you something, Cindy. How much leeway do I have? Have you listened to the show often enough? Do you know me well enough to know that even when I sound like I'm going off on a tangent, I usually have a point?
I do not know you that well enough, but I totally understand what you just said, and I'm very comfortable with that. So
okay,
go,
great.
Go.
So I'm going to go a wandering. Come along for a ride.
Okay.
Whether or not there is truth to soul plans and paths and things like that, they are ultimately made of thought.
Okay.
So the whole idea of deserving, right? There's no such thing in nature as deserving or undeserving. Right? There's never once been an acorn that deserved to become an oak and didn't, or didn't deserve to become an oak and did.
Understood.
That is a human construct. It is a thought construct. And so it's in the context of this conversation we're having about money, it's just another thing that we can make up about it that makes it harder to see for what it is. Because the issue isn't whether you have a lot of it or a little, and it isn't whether you think it's good that you have a lot of it or it would be better if you had. So it's not context specific. It's simply that the more we make stuff up about money, the more of a difficult subject it seems. And the less that we make up about it, the more straightforward it is. Whether we're making up good things or bad things. Right? If a bull is charging towards me in the arena, and I decide that this is my life path to confront this bull, I will probably be a little bit more present with the bull than my thinking. And that will give me a better chance of handling the bull. If I decide that that I shouldn't be in the arena, and how did I wind up in the arena, and why is there a bull? I will probably struggle with the bull because I'm wrestling with my head and not as present to the bull. If I decide that bulls are lovely, warm creatures, I will probably smile when I see the bull. If I decide that bulls are evil creatures out to get us, I will probably feel scared when I look at the bull. None of this affects the bull.
Understood.
And so it's very easy, positive or negative, to get caught up in thinking that our thinking about money is relevant. And all that's relevant is when we have a lot of thinking about anything, it's harder to see straight. It's like if the fan of my thoughts is spinning really fast, it's hard to for a new idea to get through it without chopping off my fingers. When the fan is spinning pretty slowly, it's very easy to see more clearly what's on the other side of the fan and for new thinking and new ideas to come through. And it doesn't matter if I've peppered the fan with positive affirmations about money or peppered it with limiting beliefs about money. Once it starts spinning, I'm fan blind. I'm thought blind. I'm not seeing clear. There's no space for new thought to come through. And so I'm not going to have a lot of original thinking about money. I'm not going to have a lot of fresh experience around it.
Because I'm caught in the fan.
Right. And so that's the thing.
The
whether your family decorated the fan, the mobile above your bed with a fan of positive affirmations or a fan of negative limitation, right? It's still, when the fan's spinning, all you see is the fan. And when the fan's slow, you can see past it. You can see through the fan into what's beyond it, into the world of possibility.
So are you saying be beyond the thoughts that I have created and that I put on to money, release those, get to a neutral space and see what's beyond those thoughts and what are new possibilities of thoughts and feelings?
Only if you want to have a more wonderful, expansive life.
Well, gosh. I'll think about that for about a nanosecond.
Because that's what's on offer.
That's why I'm on this journey, and that's why I made the call. Of course.
Absolutely. Of course. It's true for all of us.
The
problem that people who don't have money but think that that matters have is that they don't see what's possible because they're only seeing what's possible given how little money I have. The problem that often people who have a lot of money run into is that the money starts looking like their support. It starts looking like that's their gateway to possibility. And so then even when they have a lot of it, there's fear and tightness around using it.
Yes. Or fear that it's going to be gone. Because it's not necessarily replenished.
I remember reading a book years ago by a guy named John Randolph Price, and it was called The Abundance Book. It was a little green book, and there was an affirmation in it. I'll see if it's still in my head. But it said something to the effect of money is not my supply. No person, place, or condition is my supply. My unconditional awareness, and here's where I'm going to make it up, of the infinite creative potential of the universe is my supply. That awareness is unlimited. Therefore, my supply is unlimited. Now that, forget the fact that it's called an affirmation, that's closer to true. But when it starts to look like money is my supply, like a person, place, or condition is my supply, then it really matters how much money I got.
And for me, with money not being the main concern, it has been opened up, well, what if, then what am I here for? Where else is my value and my purpose and my gift? It doesn't come through that route.
One of the great things I think about seeing through our own thinking is that we
start seeing
through our own thinking.
Okay.
Is that we start to see that we have the capacity to receive, not just to broadcast, that we have the capacity to listen to a deeper voice inside us, from a deeper place inside us. And my experience is, anyone I know who started to listen more to that inner voice, that deeper something, finds that questions of purpose are answered before they're asked. They might not be answered in words, but they're answered in every fiber of your being and every action that you take in the world.
In some level, I know that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and that's the beauty of it. At some level, we all know that. Mm-hmm. But when we're thinking a lot, mm-hmm. we forget it and we don't see it.
Mm-hmm. because I lose the connection to that,
right.
to the energy that is connecting me to everything and everyone and all the plants.
That's right. We're alive.
Yeah.
It's really important to remember.
I'm still here and alive. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, all right. Cindy. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
A pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
So just before I go back to the phones, and if you want to get in, we probably have time for a couple more numbers to call. 866-254-1579, toll free in the U.S. and Canada, outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. Let me let you know about a few things coming up. If you are in Scandinavia or would like to be in November, I'm going to be in Denmark, as part of the Elevate conference, which is the largest personal development conference in Scandinavia each year. And I know one of the other speakers alongside me will be Marianne Williamson this year, so I'm very excited about that. Also, if you are interested in doing this kind of work, Supercoach Academy, supercoachacademy.com is the website, and we have been doing a training roughly every 2 years. And it's the largest training that we do. It's the most focused training that we do. And it's a really deep dive into how to have this conversation that I have each week on the radio show with others. So you can check out supercoachacademy.com for that. And then the only other thing I've got coming up for those people who want to come play is actually a retreat that we run 3 times a year called Time to Thrive. And the last one of this year, and very possibly the last one ever, because I'm going to change the format going forward. I've done this for 4 years now, 3 times a year all over the world. The very last Time to Thrive is going to be in Hong Kong this December. You can learn more about it at supercoach.com/thrive. But that's a place to come if you want to go deep in this conversation for yourself. Not that you won't apply it to your business, not that you won't apply it to your relationships and other areas of your life, but it's a chance to really look inside and see what you've got going for you. And it turns out that what you've got going for you is so incredible that you can thrive wherever you are, whatever your circumstances currently are. So you can learn more about that at supercoach.com/thrive. And let's go to Chicago and let's talk to Marie. Marie, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I can't believe I got through. Okay. Ta-da-da. So. All right, so I'm in Chicago. You might know my mom passed, so I left LA and came to Chicago.
Okay.
So the issue, the question about money I have is, and it was kind of convoluted when I said to the person, so I'm trying to understand how money isn't a problem. I get what you're saying about not worrying, but if you have like bills or you have like your rent is due, or a credit card bill that you just don't have the money to pay for, isn't that a problem that is solved by just having the money? But if you don't have the money, it becomes a big problem.
So, I was about to say I'm not as stupid as I sound, but maybe I am. So let's leave that as an open question, whether or not I'm as stupid as I sound. But why is it a problem if you don't have the money to pay a bill?
Well, okay, if you don't have the money to say, like, to pay a credit card bill. Mm-hmm. I had a credit card that I've had for many, many years. And just the last couple of months, my money dried up. Lots of different circumstances of why I wasn't able to make enough money. Even though I was working, it just wasn't enough to pay that bill. So then it went into default, and now it's a big, big problem because now it's gotten bigger and bigger. I don't have the money to pay. They're not willing to negotiate, apparently, even though I've asked a few times. I'll ask again, but, you know, I don't have any power to make them say yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be on my credit card. It would make it very difficult for me to, you know, once you have that credit, it becomes very hard to get a car loan, to get another apartment, not even borrow money, just even to get another apartment. Everything is connected to that now, or even, like, applying for certain jobs. It becomes a big problem. And actually, I feel very sad that I've lost that car because I had it for so long, and it really upsets me that I didn't have the money, and I don't still have the money to pay for it.
Okay. So Marie, again, I'm going to ask what the question I just asked our last caller. Are you okay if I come across as a bit of a jerk for a minute?
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. I want to ask because I understand that the way that I'm going to talk about this might just sound like, hello, unsympathetic bastard. What's your question for today? And that's not my intention, but I understand that's a risk of the trade. So I heard two things in what you just said. Mm-hmm. I heard a lot of fear and emotional pain, and I heard mm-hmm. a couple of logistics. So there was what I heard as fear and a lot of emotional pain about losing the card, about what this means for the future, about how you're going to do unspecified things at an unspecified time in an unspecified place somewhere down line. I heard that, which is all made of thought. It's all a scary fantasy film that you're watching in your head. And then I heard mixed in with that, as if it was part of it, I heard that if my credit score reflects a non-payment, that's going to affect who will loan me money in the future to get things that I might want to get.
Or get a nice apartment and people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, that's an apartment, a car, etc. So now here's really the only question that I feel I've got the right to ask. Can you hear the difference, between those two things? Between the logistics that you may well have to find creative solutions for in the future, and the fear and worry that you're suffering from in the present?
No.
Great. And I say great because once you do, this is going to look completely different to you.
Hmm.
See, I totally get. You can call 30 other radio shows and find 30 other people to agree with you that mm-hmm. the situation is problematic. But all I can tell you is that if the fundamental premise that we're speaking from is true, which is that mm-hmm. our very nature is alive, that we are of this intelligent energy of life, our very being is inherently well. And if our experience of life is a product of the fact that we are conscious and that we mm-hmm. think, that's where all the fear is in that realm. All the fear is in that created realm of thought and consciousness. All that sadness is in that realm. Now, you're going to feel that as long as you think it. Me too, right? When I think those thoughts, I feel those feelings. And I no more control my thoughts than I control which sounds come into my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Thoughts come into my head, mm-hmm. sounds come into my ear. Indiscriminately. Okay. But mm-hmm. what I do with them once they're in my head, whether I engage with them as meaningful and things that have to be reckoned with, or whether I watch them fly past and make a whooshing sound, like, wow, that was a scary thought. Anyways, and get back to the present, that I do have some degree of influence over. And if it looks to me like those scary thoughts are harbingers of doom, of course I'm going to pay attention to them and worry about them and try to figure them out. But uh-huh. if they look like the noise of my brain that they are, the noise of my past conditioning that they are,
mm.
then I'm much more inclined to kind of ride them out and let them pass and see what's waiting for me on the other side of them. See what wisdom comes into the space that's left behind, into the vacuum of a quiet mind.
But what if nothing comes up?
Well, then you would literally be the one human being of the 7 billion of us alive and the many billions before that is not subject to the laws of nature. Because the laws of nature, I do. I actually do.
No.
You know, I normally only have one guarantee. I always guarantee people that if their head explodes, I'll give them their money back. But I'm going to add a second guarantee. I guarantee you that in the quiet of your mind on the other side of these worry thoughts, you will find inspiration, you will find peace, and you will find creative ways of handling whatever logistics are actually on your plate. Not all the ones that you're worrying about will be on your plate at some point.
So what you're saying is that if I, all the scary thoughts that I'm having, because I am scared.
No, I get it. Of course you are. Of course you are. I don't think that's weird or wrong or bad. I want to be really clear about that. I get it, but that's all it is.
So I somehow am able to let those scary thoughts and feelings just pass through.
Mm-hmm.
That eventually my mind will calm down and something will come to me that helps me in this situation.
Yeah, and here's the one thing that I'll say that might two things that I would add that's a little different the way I hear it in my head than the way I heard it come out of your mouth, just to clarify. Eventually sounds like a long way away.
Yeah.
No, I am literally, well, forget it. That's a separate thing. They want what they want. That's their thinking to deal with. Right. That's their problem. So just sticking with you,
mm-hmm.
You are one thought away in this moment as we are speaking from complete peace without anything changing in the circumstances of your situation.
Hmm. Okay.
Now the second thing that, like I say, sounds a little bit different in my head than I heard it from your mouth, mm-hmm. is it's not necessarily that you're going to get a new idea about what to do about this really difficult situation that you're in. It's actually that when you let all this noise pass, you might see yourself to be in a very different situation than it looks like you're in right now. I wish I could articulate that and give you examples and things like that, but it's something I have experienced so many times,
mm-hmm.
where one day I'm looking up at a mountain of difficulty, and the next day I can't figure out where the mountain went, and there's a few things for me to do, and I do them.
Hmm.
It's not about becoming a better mountain climber. It's about seeing that we're the ones that make the mountains.
Yeah, because money is like a huge mountain for me now. It's just...
Right. And as long as it's a huge mountain, as long as it's a monster,
right.
You've got to get better at fighting monsters. We're not really made to fight monsters. We're made to create monsters with thought. So
okay.
I'm going to, because of time, I'm going to have to leave you there, Marie. But phone back. Phone back as often as you like. And let's keep this conversation going. Because you're seeing something. I can hear it.
Mm.
Stay with it.
Okay,
and let's talk further.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marie. So listen, gang, we are fresh out of time. So apologies to those of you who didn't get in this week. I'm going to be live for a while. I can't remember. I've got a few little journeys, but for the most part, I'm going to be around. So please listen back in, phone back in, and let's keep the conversation going. Again, supercoach.com. It's where you can find out about everything we're up to. Supercoachacademy.com for those of you who want to do this work. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/MNeil and on Twitter at Michael_Neil. And God, do I have time for a deep thought? If I stall long enough, I'll run out of time for a deep thought. Here's my final deep thought as we're running to the credits. On the other side of all you're thinking about money, before all you're thinking about money, is the creative source of life. The more you look to that, the less your money problems are going to look monstrous and even real. So have fun, learn heaps, happy exploring, and I'll talk to y'all next week. Bye-bye for now.